You found Prime Time Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN's Prime Time Action Tuesday night from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, glad you could join us tonight for a bevy of different NFL props. We'll get into all that. A team that leads a division you trust the least. Who's going to have the fewest number of wins? That's just the tip of the iceberg. But first, some puck drops.
But the team that we trust the least, spoiler, it's the Ravens. Like, spoiler,
wait a minute.
It's the Ravens for me. I mean, I don't know about...
There goes that segment, Kelly.
Kelly, I mean...
That's cool. Matt can talk for 7 minutes then by himself. That's fine.
That's so funny.
It's the truth, is it not?
I mean, we're all going to have different answers to that.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well.
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, let's do it. 735 Eastern, 430 Pacific is the Nets and the Mavericks. The Nets, 1.5 favorites in this one, 221. The total, we have 830 Eastern, 530 Pacific. The Knicks and the Spurs. The Knicks are 1.5 favorites, 211. The total in that one. And 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, we have the Celtics and the Lakers. The Lakers are 4-point home favorites in that one, 219 your total.
Any other segments you want to mess up here at the top for Kelly? I think he's very bitter about it early on.
No, I'm just saying, come on. I've been talking about how much I hate this team for the last 2 weeks.
I mean, if you ever want to help out with segment ideas or anything like that, feel free. My email, you know my phone number, you know my email,
Yeah. I've been talking about how much I hate him for so long.
Andy McNeil, speaking of hockey, will join us later. Looking forward to that. Drew Dinsick from NBC Sports Edge and also the Deep Dive podcast, Dinsick Classic. He will join us later. By the way, we do an AFC division leader and NFC division leader that we trust the least. The AFC division leader that we trust the most and the NFC that we trust the least, is that correct on the screen?
Matt Brown even misread it.
So that's not even a possible answer, man. Not even a possible answer. He faked you out. He threw you a curveball. See what he did? He's reading through.
Oh! It ain't that bad anymore,
huh?
Well, guess what? New segment, the Ravens. It's the other side. So there we go.
Did you just want to do 5 minutes on the Ravens?
There we go.
For no reason? Oh, my goodness. All right.
Hate that team.
We can talk about the Ravens. David Njoku of the Cleveland Browns placed on the COVID-19 reserve list today. His status for Sunday's game versus those Ravens, as of now, unclear. Vikings linebacker Anthony Barr says he is playing on Thursday against Pittsburgh. That's your couple NFL notes today. How about this NBA? There's a couple NBA things that are interesting, though.
Kind of a quiet day in the NFL, though, news-wise.
For especially every day we've been in here, definitely.
It feels
quiet.
Like we've got six stories to break every time we're on here.
Okay,
well, it might have to do with the Amazon Web Services were down today, and people just couldn't get news out, and things weren't everything just shut down.
Supply chain stuff. So NBA. So Bam Adebayo out 4 to 6 weeks after successful surgery on his thumb. But here's where it gets interesting. There's a couple interesting NBA stories. One, per Shams Charania and Bob Kravitz of The Athletic, the 10-16 Pacers. Who, again, once you get beyond the Nets and the Bucks and the Bulls in the Eastern Conference, and before you get to Detroit and Orlando, everybody's in a scrum, pretty much. With the Pacers at the bottom of that scrum right now, they're 10-16. They're moving towards a, quote, substantial rebuild. They've decided this already. They're expected to start trade talks on Domantas Sabonis, your boy, Miles Turner, and Caris LeVert. You surprised by the timing of this at all? 26 games in, they're like deuces.
I don't get it at all. I mean, Matt, there's seemingly been dysfunction in Indiana for years now. That team this year to me is way too talented to have the record that they do. I don't really get it though. A substantial rebuild. Some of these guys. I mean, Domantas Sabonis has 3 years left on his contract. He's 25 years old. He's one of the best young stars in the NBA. Isn't the point of a rebuild to get new young talent? That is young talent that you have on your roster. So I don't really know. But the Pacers clearly haven't been able to do anything with these guys. So I'll be happy to watch them go somewhere else and be on better teams and make the NBA more fun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I can think is they're trying to do the maybe pull a whole mini process thing here or something and trade away guys and just get a whole bunch of draft picks and think that that's going to be the way to kind of put together a contender out there. But yeah, I mean, I saw it today. It was just like, I don't know. I mean, listen, I guess in the NBA, the one thing that is true, one player means so much more in the NBA than any other sport that there is out there. So if you can amass draft picks and somehow weasel your way up to a top three pick or something or whatever, and then you have a foundation for a team, and then you build around. I mean, there's at least, I guess, there's that in the thinking, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that has to be it, right? It's that, okay, you want to load up on draft picks, go after young talent, everything like that. I don't like Indiana. Like some of these guys, especially Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, like these, what these guys might turn into, like, are guys that you are, or Indiana has always had problems attracting in the past, right? Like you are still a smaller market team. It's always going to have problems attracting superstar talent. And so, like you just said, Matt, superstar talent means so much in the NBA. So like what these guys might grow into, you're okay with losing out on. I don't know. I don't get it from their standpoint. I think you guys are right. I think it just might be a whole culture thing, reset. We're going to go completely young, get new, you know, draft picks and everything like that. But especially with someone like Sabonis, I don't get it at all.
The other big NBA thing today came down this morning. This isn't really an NBA thing so much as is a governmental thing. You see the Woj bomb this morning, Woj grenade, whatever you want to call it. Any unvaccinated NBA player with temporary visa status leaving the country will be unable to re-enter the United States, according to a memo obtained by ESPN. For example, a player would be unable to re-enter after playing in Canada or traveling outside the U.S. on All-Star weekend. But then he quickly adds that the NBA informed teams today that unvaccinated players will no longer be allowed to travel to Toronto to play games beginning on January 15th. That, according to the same memo, new Canadian law mandates that all visitors entering the country be vaccinated. So from a handicapping standpoint, we need to be aware of all Raptors games at home in Toronto and who or who will not be traveling there or playing there. The NBA will get an entire list of who is and who is not vaccinated now. You can no longer be anonymous.
Okay,
about
I was just going to ask that question. I didn't know that part of it. Okay. Yeah. So they are going to make a list, made public?
Well, I don't know about being made public. But
it will be made public.
Yeah.
We know how this works. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It will get leaked.
I mean, you almost have to, right? Because otherwise it's going to be so obvious with it. Anytime any team travels to Toronto, like one player's out for like rest reasons or something. Like,
so the NBA has announced that, quote, teams must furnish the league office with a list of unvaccinated players by this Friday, unquote. So they're like, give us that list and give it to us now. Whether it gets public or not, you know, that's speculation, but probably. Who knows?
It is interesting.
Well, it's interesting in the sense that, again, so my girlfriend lives in Toronto, flies back and forth from Las Vegas. She would have to get a test within 72 hours of every flight. It's a pain in the butt, right? Now it's being switched to 24 hours. But the NBA and baseball players and whatever, like they had some free pass on this before. They no longer have a free pass on this, the NBA players. So, and it's also a little contradictory. You guys are saying you can't go if you're unvaccinated, but hey, if you do, like say an All-Star break, and you get out of the country somehow, you can't come back in.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what the list is like, because you know we had all these guys talking in the offseason,
yes,
right? Like I'm not gonna get vaccine. Like they don't believe in it, whatever, you know, whatever it was, but then they eventually came around to it, right? Like guys like LeBron, guys like Andrew Wiggins, like they came around to it because they kind of had to.
Well, we have numbers on that. The NBA claims that 97% of their players are already vaccinated and 60% have gotten the booster. I don't believe those numbers.
Well, it depends on how many of them are friends with Antonio Brown. How many of them have visited Antonio Brown's guy? You know,
or his chef, I guess. Yeah. How many use the same chef and haven't paid him $10,000? Yeah. They
have. Anyway, just from a handicapping standpoint, we just have to be aware of that when the Raptors are.
Yeah, and I think that'll be something that.
Yeah.
Like I said, whether it's actually made public or not, it'll get. We know how this goes.
We're gonna find out. Yeah.
It'll get. It'll get leaked. It'll get.
So and so is not playing tonight. Wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Toronto already kind of had a bizarre home court advantage. Like that is usually the number one spot that most players will say they hate traveling to, just because of they have to go through customs. It always takes so much longer. So it is a bizarre home court advantage that they might have over some of these teams.
It's interesting. What about that game last night? Patriots, 14, Bills, 10, everything you imagined it to be. First of all, can we just applaud that we saw history? 3 forward passes from Mac Jones. 2 for 3 for 19 yards, a 4.3 QBR, which exceeded Tyrod Taylor's 2.7 total QBR this weekend for completing two forward passes. Bills got it within the red zone twice late, couldn't come away with a single point. Patriots survive.
Yeah, it was, now, I had no idea it was going to go that way, of course, but the thought going into this was if the Patriots were able to run the ball well, that they would win the game. They were able to run the ball well. They won the game. The interesting part of this was, I think, honestly, from both sides of this, was just was the coaching, right?
I agree. It's
less about what happened on the field and more about what happened on the sidelines with these guys. I mean, one, from the baffling thing we saw at the end of the first half of Belichick not even trying to score, not even trying to get within, you know, long field goal range with the wind at your back to where you could, I mean, putting up a 55, 60-yarder at that point with that type of wind would not have been outlandish.
I said this morning, I think he got away with the entire second quarter of lollygagging the whole second quarter and had to survive those last two drives. And the only thing that was great for him is that McDermott was worse than he was.
And I was going to say, but then on the other side, is McDermott didn't do anything to counteract what was going on the other sideline. So it was just, what was going on with that was really kind of the crazy and the real story of the game for me, outside of the fact that somehow in that ridiculous wind, even against it, like Josh Allen was still able to throw just lasers.
And somehow got over that rushing total, Kelly, without Sean McDermott calling enough plays for him. Talk a little bit more about that game. AFC Yes No Playoffs next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits.
Tracking splits.
We're betting them. We're not tracking them. Yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. I'm dying here because I watched this documentary late last night after the football game called My Octopus Teacher on Netflix. Really good, by the way. But basically, Kelly's like, what's the premise? I said, it's this dude who follows around an octopus for a year. It's an amazing story. It really is so well done. It's touching. It's awesome. And Kelly immediately shoots back, like, if you gave me $1 billion to chase squirrel around for a year. Just the image of Kelly.
Nobody can do that.
The image of Kelly Bidlidge chasing around a squirrel.
Chasing a squirrel all year long.
That's phenomenal.
And just another odd little thing. I had for about a year and a half, we had a pet squirrel.
Oh, yeah. We had squirrels at our, where we were too.
This tree, like right by my house, it was like probably way too close to my house. Like, if it was blown over, it would have just crushed my whole home. But there was this squirrel that lived in that tree, and it never left that tree to the point to where my mom started, like, hand-feeding this squirrel.
Acorns.
And, like, then the squirrel would start coming down and, like,
oh, wow,
just, like, hanging out on her arm, and she would be, like, feeding the squirrel. And he stayed for, like, a year and a half, and then she came out one day and was like, he's gone.
Oh.
And it was like, it broke her heart. But, yeah, lived in that one tree for like, a year and a half.
Wow, it's a good story.
And then one day,
I got deep.
Did the whole like,
Kelly, go find that squirrel.
Well, I mean, I did the whole.
I'm honored.
That was like one of those things where she
get
was
a
like,
documentary
oh,
crew. Let's go.
He went and found a new tree or whatever, and like me and my brother are like, no man, he's dead. Like no, I mean he's dead. Somebody killed that thing. But yeah.
About one more thing about that game last night. We were.
I have so many questions about this octopus show, but we can save it for the break.
Spectacular. If you're into that kind of thing, so. Obviously, the Bills, this was like a Rigo drill. For those who were around in the 80s, this was like Washington just saying, we have a one-back offense. His name is John Riggins. He's behind the Hogs. Stop him. We dare you. So the Bills yesterday put 8-9 in the box. Couldn't do anything about the Patriots rushing offense. 222 yards, by the way, rushing for the Patriots. And so the Bills, as I said when they lost to the Jaguars, knocked me out of Survivor, I'm like, they look soft. They just don't look like they're playoff ready in an environment like this against a run-heavy team, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Titans, you name your run-heavy team. And then after the game, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde had a little press conference, and this is not a quantifiable thing, but they were asked by some reporter if, you know, they were embarrassed by this. That was the word used. And they got super defensive. They were super triggered by this word and really just made a, you know, just made a showing of it, made a scene about the whole thing. So the question to you is, both on the field and off the field, does this team just seem soft to you?
Yeah, well, against this, like I was saying, like, that's why I was so heavy on New England in this game, and why, I mean, I bet them a week in advance of this game even happening. And it's like, this New England team is built to beat this Buffalo team. Like, it's the way that they're engineered is to beat this Buffalo team. Now, Buffalo can go out, and if they can sling it all over the field, you know, 50 times in a game, then they're built to beat a lot of other teams out there as it is. But, like, that's just not, one, this game environment wasn't conducive to that. And then on top of that as well, you're looking at a team that was, from a defensive standpoint, from the Patriots, that was also playing extremely high-level defense with all that. Like, I think that the Bills will, at some point in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, by the way.
Right, that's an if.
If they make the playoffs, by the way.
12 teams with
we'll just encounter
losses.
Another experience like this, right? Like, they might win a game, they whatever, but like, they are not built for the long haul here, because they will just get another experience like this. One, a team will look at all of these games that they've lost where they've just been trampled on the ground, and they will just complete. I mean, like you said, one, yes, the conditions were horrible and all that, but like, I don't know that the conditions really changed all that much what the basic game plan of the Patriots was anyway,
yeah.
Right? Which was go out, pound the rock over and over and over again against this defense that we think we can run the ball very successfully against, you know? And so, because like, when I bet this a week ago, I had no idea that there was going to be 30, 40 mile, 50 mile an hour wins, whatever. It was based off the fact that I thought the Patriots were going to be able to bully this Bills defense, right? The way that it was. I think that the fundamental strategy was the same. Obviously, it was taken to level 11 extreme, but I think that the premise of, hey, we think we are more physical than you are on this side of the ball, and this is how we're going to get it done, I think was basically the same.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think in the weather, Belichick took it to an extreme that he had to get away with it almost to the end. But basically, yeah, the premise, I think you're absolutely right about.
Yeah, and again, I found fault on both sides. Who am I? I mean, I understand he's the greatest coach of all time. I get all that stuff and all that. But I mean, you know, I think in retrospect, he would look back, especially just on that last sequence in the first half, and say there was zero reason for us not to have taken at least a chance or two right there to put what,
yes,
three in a game that you knew was going to be extremely low scoring.
Because they got 20 yards on that first carry,
yeah,
under 2 minutes. Like, the fact that you didn't care about that drive, let,
yeah,
alone the whole second quarter, when you should have used that quarter to, you know, increase your lead. They were content not to.
We watched
that.
The opening kickoff go 10 rows deep, right, into the stands.
Never seen that.
So
before.
Like, it would, no one would have second-guessed him if he lined up for a 59-yard field goal, right? Like, if he'd have just played to, like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to play to kick a long field goal here. Even then, people would have said, like, well, you know, it's not the greatest strategy, but with this wind, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, even if that would have been the strategy, but to just basically just say, hey, no, we're fine. We're fine.
Let's take a look at some yes-nos in the AFC playoffs. Now, we have removed from this the top four seeds in the AFC, which would be, in current order, Patriots, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs. So they are removed from this graphic. But 5 through 13, which means Chargers all the way down to Dolphins, we have. You see the remaining strength of schedule. The hardest remaining schedule is the Browns, 608 combined win percentage. Hardest schedule the rest of the NFL. The easiest on this board happens to be the very top team, the Chargers, based on that. So Chargers are minus 280, yes. By the way, the Bills are minus 1,000 still to make the playoffs in this yes/no, and the biggest favorite to not make the playoffs on this board would be the Raiders and the Dolphins. You see a bet there that you like at all?
So the question I guess then becomes is, I would ask people,
that Bills numbers come down.
Yeah, I would imagine that has, right?
What's that?
The Bills number can't
numbers
be right.
Come down drastically.
Yeah, that can't be right.
Minus 450 and plus 330.
Still the biggest favorite on that board, but not quite as high.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I mean, so the question really becomes then on the Bills of do you think that let's call them, I mean, do you think that a 9-8 team, or do you think that a 10-7 team is going to get in, and that'll be them, and it won't be the Colts, or it won't be whoever else any of these other teams right here? Because, I mean, listen, they're going to lose to Tampa Bay.
I agree.
They play New England again, so maybe they can. Maybe the story will be different the second time around or whatever. But this time it's only on the road, so like they're not even at home. So you get New England again in that one, and then you look, and it's like, yeah, Carolina, Atlanta, the Jets, all three of those teams at times have really, really stunk, and at times have shown at least a tiny sign of life. Would it completely shock me if they got beat by one of the three of those two? It would not.
Not at all.
It would not shock me in the least.
They lost to the Jaguars, man. Yeah. I still like the Colts. Yes, is my best bet there, even money. I think the Colts-Patriots game is going to be awesome. That's the game where I think the Colts sort of assert themselves and say, oh, you think you can run well? Watch this.
So yeah, this is tough. I mean, I think it's three of the four, between Chargers, Bengals, Bills, and Colts, but I don't know who's going to be the odd man out.
Bills out. I think it's Chargers, Bengals, Colts. I really do. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think it's that hard of a choice either. Because I don't think, like, the Dolphins, bless them, right? Five in a row, but they still got seven losses.
Yeah.
Browns are diminished. Broncos, let's face it, come on. Raiders, same, right? And the Steelers, we all agree, are sort of ridiculous.
Man, so, I was going to say the Bills, no, plus 650 was worth a piece of it, but that's well gone.
The Colts are going to have to win one of the games that they're not favored in.
I think they're going to be favored against the Patriots at home. I do.
Do you?
Yeah, by like a point and a half or something. I don't think anybody's fooled by the Colts at home versus the Patriots. I'll be interested to see what that is. Patriots on a bye this week. Colts as well.
They'll be dogs against Arizona. But then they'll be favored against Vegas and against Jacksonville for sure. And so it'll be interesting with that team. But again, I think you do have a team that can run against Vegas, against Jacksonville. That's for sure. Like, those are going to be wins. They just got to win one of those, either the Patriots or the Cardinals.
They have five games left. They go 3-2. What's five? No, they have four games.
They've only four left.
Yeah, I think they go 3-1 down the stretch. I think they make the playoffs with even a cushion. That's my thought on it. Bills, I think, are the team out. We'll come back. We will do, among other things, an Andy McNeil interview, talk hockey. But teaser Tuesday next. It's Tuesday. Let's look at the best teaser legs this week. That's around the corner right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you're betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a high, or rather a few key high-value props. The guide will drop December 13th. That's 6 days from now. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99.
$25.28 Canadian.
At VSiN.com/subscribe. Well done. Well done indeed.
It's a bargain.
It's a bargain for me.
$25.28 Canadian.
I think I will buy some. Mm-hmm. You know what that's from?
I'm going to buy it in Canadian.
You guys aren't old enough.
I'm going to buy it in Bitcoin.
Didn't get my Eddie Murphy reference. Teaser Tuesday, Matt Brown on the guitar. Enjoy. Man, you really put your soul in that one. You really are good. Do you do this in your garage? Where do you do this?
I wore sunglasses inside while I did it. I had on a fedora.
The wife has never been proud.
I had a fedora. I had on sunglasses inside.
He just recreates the Back to the Future scene. That's what he does.
Oh, man.
It was great. I had a pea coat on. I looked cool.
Kelly Bidlin has sent the graphic down to three choices.
Mm.
These are all well, not the same. The third one isn't, I guess. But the top two are standard wongers. Ravens plus 2.5 at the Browns. Want to tease the Ravens up to 8.5? Broncos.
Thou shalt not.
You shall not do that.
Thou shalt not.
Wow. You don't even want the 8.5.
I don't know, man. I just hate the Ravens so much. I hate that team.
Quoth the Ravens. How clever does Berman think every time he says that? He think he is every time he says that. Broncos -8 versus the Lions. You can tease them down through the 7 and the 3, hosting the Now 1-10-1 Detroit Lions. And then the Seahawks on the road. Can I interest you in some Seahawks? Tease down through the 7-3. Again, how bad must the Texans be if the Seattle Seahawks are 7.5-point road favorites?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Broncos and Seahawks is a pretty standard one this week, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's a lot of people's play this week. Because, I mean, you look, and as bad as Seattle's looked and as bad as Denver has looked, and I understand the Lions did win last week, and I get the Texans have been feisty at times.
Letdown spot for the Lions.
The Texans, yes. This was last week was their Super Bowl.
Letdown spot.
And that's all they needed. No, but I mean, they're still talentless. I mean, they still don't have any talent, and the Texans by far are the least talented team in the NFL, and so it just would be shocking to me if those teams were to lose again this week. I mean, like, you know, for the Lions to pull two massive upsets in a row, I think would be pretty shocking.
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in the Seahawks leg for some reason. I just think the Texans are that bad, but I don't really know what to pair it with. Is the problem. I don't know if I'm going to have a single teaser this week. I guess one other game that has fallen completely into teaser range, I didn't see this line crash this afternoon, but this Rams-Cardinals line really dipped today. I don't know what – was there any news you caught today, Matt, on that game? That's down to 2 at DraftKings. It's 1.5 places.
Yeah, Rams are teaser leg.
Yeah, 2.5.
Qualifying teaser leg.
Yeah, Circa's hanging a 1.5 on that game here in town right now.
Interesting. Yeah, 2.5 on the Rams. You could add the 49ers
You could add the Falcons too, man. Come on, Falcons are a good teaser leg. I like that one.
49ers are 1.5 at a couple of different rest of country books out there. So you could take 49ers to 7.5 if you wanted to go that direction, which the news on that, if you are wondering, is the old hopeful that Debo is going to be back for week 14. Hopeful, Gil.
They are hopeful. For sure they're hopeful.
I would hope that they were hopeful.
Yeah. They're hopeful.
I would hope that they are hopeful.
Literally, like I was telling this, I think I mentioned this last week. If you were giving out the literal MVP, guys who are not going to get actual MVP votes, but they're the literal MVP on their team, Debo's top of list with the Niners. Cordero on the Falcons. Guys like that. So they got to be hopeful about that.
This seems like and again, we're not advocating for you to get all wacky and crazy, whatever. This seems like a non-traditional teaser week for Matt Brown. Like,
is there one or two you're thinking
like
of?
I love Chargers from 10 down to 4.
Love
what like
third person.
You know, like stuff like that, right? Like Chargers from 10 down to 4 against a completely depleted Giants team that has absolutely nothing to play for. That's going to have no talent. Like I said, all their skill players are going to be on the sideline. Like with a quarterback that's making a first start in the NFL. I mean, it's just
is that 100% that it's Jake Fromm?
It's not 100%, but it's. It seems to be like it seems to be that like that's going to be the case.
I'll play against that.
And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, 10 down to 4 Chargers. If you can't win that by more than 4 points, then.
Yeah, there's a chance that I do something like that with the Packers. Packers 11.5 down to 5.5 Sunday night hosting the Bears. That I think right now if I had to pair something with the Seahawks, that's probably what I would pair it with.
Yeah. I could.
Nothing in the account for me yet, though. I don't know about you, man. This I think this is the first week all year I haven't had a teaser in the account already.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I played a little small one on that Seahawks and Broncos. Just again, I mean that's not a bet on. That's a bet against. They're just too horrible.
Can I go back to your Ravens hate for a second?
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want them at 8.5?
I am very nervous about that team scoring points and even getting 8.5 points where, like, the Browns might only need to score 17 or 20.
I'm not running to it.
You still lose that.
Yeah, I'm not running to it either. I think it's more about the matchup, right? I think it's more that the Browns still have some defenders that can stop the run and get in Lamar Jackson's face and do a little bit of what we saw the Steelers do to him last week. So It's more about that, but yeah, I'm not running to grab 8.5 points with them either, Gil.
Coming out of a bye, so maybe Baker only has 4 different things right. ailing him as opposed to 9.
Or
so
they're like, all like slightly less severe than what they were before.
Groin, foot, shoulder.
groin, foot, shoulder has become just groin, foot, or just groin, shoulder.
Groin, foot.
I mean, Chiefs are 9 at DraftKings. If that fell to 8.5, I would be all over that. We don't. I mean, 9.5 is the best I see here in Vegas.
Yeah,
but if that somehow got into teaser range, I would love that.
Interesting though that we're all sort of meh on the teasers this early in the week.
I got to be honest with you. I am meh on. This whole week.
Yeah, it's a. I didn't like the betting card at all.
So
I loved it.
You did?
Which terrifies me. Because I love the Falcons. I think that's a nonsense line.
I mean, I bet the Cardinals last night. Apparently, that was a terrible bet, though.
I like the Cardinals, too. So I don't think very highly of the Rams. I liked Washington getting the hook. And if Waller's playing, I like the Raiders. If he's not playing, forget about it.
Washington was one I didn't think the line was going to move that way. I was kind of waiting on it because that was going to be the one I was going to kind of do non-traditional teaser with, take Washington up to like 10.5, 11, something like that. But that's gone.
Yeah, I got to hear about the Amari situation. Like if he's a full go, and if there's any way that I can get any sort of clarity on that, I think I would take Dallas at 3.5. There's just not enough people in that secondary for this Washington team to cover all 3 of those guys, which is just the problem, right? I mean, like, secondary has been the problem for Washington all year. And so getting – if all 3 of those guys are going to run full game, I think that would lean me towards the Cowboys. But, you know, we didn't know that stuff about Amari until we just happened to be sitting here, you know, 20 minutes before the game kicked off, and the guy's like, he's not out there like with any of the guys. They're like, oh, well then, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing, apparently.
I mean, Washington's defense last, you know, again, the absence of Chase Young, who's very undisciplined this year, they're playing a lot better on that. They're getting closer to their realizing their potential without Chase Young this year than they were with him, which will change. Chase Young's a smart guy. He's not going to become LeVar Arrington career undisciplined. He'll figure it out, but they're better off almost this year. Poor kid with an injury. No one wishes that on him, but they've been playing well. By the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick, for those of you who woke up this morning, yes, wondering where is Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah, he is now officially out for the year.
Yes. I know you forgot about him. We all did.
What was your favorite moment of the Ryan Fitzpatrick Washington
when he
era?
Took that first snap, and I think after the third one when he went out for the season.
The way he handed that ball off that one time was glorious.
It was. Kelly, I mean, outside of DraftKings, which is still at 3, rest of country, the Falcons are 2.5. So, I mean, like, that would fall, you know, into a take it up to 8.5 type situation as well, if we wanted to kind of include that game. Now, the Falcons to 8.5 against Carolina would, like, isn't beating anybody by 9 points at this juncture.
Yeah, that's why I brought up Falcons as a teaser leg now. Yeah. I like them at minus 3, but teaser leg, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, there, that's just, can't imagine that.
Hey, we only have 30 seconds here to the break, so I hate doing this, running up against a wall. But do you think any of that game last night was Belichick doesn't trust Mac Jones as much as you think he might have?
Not really.
We have Drew Dinsick coming up later. He had a great answer to that this morning. He said, I think he didn't want to find out, which I think is a very clever answer to that question.
Yeah, yeah. Skip Bayless also thought that... That he didn't trust him. Tom Brady would have shredded the defense he saw.
Is that what Skip said?
Clown. Yeah.
Let's talk hockey next. By request, Andy McNeil, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here right now. When you sign up for a $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. It is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe.
I mean, what person would be better to know that it was that this costs $125.18 Canadian? $125.18 Canadian.
That's why the people tune in,
if
man.
If you want to get that.
Kelly got that Excel spreadsheet. All the people who work on Primetime Action, I'm buying something for everybody. Whatever they want, one item, I want my 20% discount.
72
Kelly.
Toonies?
Limited time offer, Kelly. I want my 20% discount.
I'll text you that spreadsheet.
Thank you.
Because email won't work.
125 loonies?
You know me well.
Loonies and toonies. Do they have pennies? Andy, do y'all have pennies?
Yeah, Matt's yelling to bring Andy.
Only we knew a Canadian on the show right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy McNeil from Edmonton, Alberta. How you doing, Andy?
We actually got rid of the pennies a little while ago, a couple of years ago.
There's a bit of a groundswell here to do that. Yeah, there's a groundswell here to do that as well.
Well, I'm guessing it's probably like expensive and kind of just useless to make that. But
so does everything get rounded up or down or what? Does it go up? Everything just gets rounded up?
Yeah, everything gets rounded up.
Andy, we can tell that this subject rivets you. Just absolutely rivets you.
I think there's people listening though are like, oh, I did not know that. Yeah. I think we
maybe
just really did.
I don't know, maybe it's a little bit of the push to get rid of cash because, you know, incentivize people to pay with their card more often because you get to save a couple cents. They don't round up if you use your card.
There it is.
All right.
There you go.
Andy, we got some
economics 101.
macroeconomics, I believe we call that. Andy, the Panthers, has the Panthers game started already?
No.
No.
No, it hasn't.
All right, so you have some actionable plays here, a side and a prop. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm on the Panthers. It's a smaller play at minus 150. I see the line is moved to about minus 160 at most shops now, and that's a little tight, but it's Panthers or nothing for me. This is a depleted St. Louis Blues team. They're only rolling with 10 forwards tonight because of injuries and due to salary cap constraints, they aren't able to call anybody else up into the lineup, and they're also missing Justin Falk on defense and Jordan Binnington in the goal. So it's Philly Husso tonight, the backup goaltender, but like I said, I think most of that's been accounted for in the price by now. I do have one player prop in the late games, though, and it is a Florida Panther. It's Alexander Barkov, who's making his return tonight. Over 3.5 shots, minus 135 at DraftKings. I've seen as high as minus 165 out there, and I like that. I think this prop should be closer to minus 200. In the 14 games that Barkov played and finished, he went over this mark 8 times. But last season, he went over in 35 of 50 games, had at least three shots. So this is a guy, he's a volume shooter, and it's kind of a bargain price here, on a night when the Panthers are probably going to have a pretty easy time dictating the pace of play here.
And is it fair of me to say that most games get posted at 5.5 goals as far as the total?
I'd say it's pretty even now between 5.5 and 6.
So these ones that are like 6.5, like there's a couple that are listed at 6.5 tonight. Are those getting posted at 6.5 or are those getting bet to 6.5?
No, some are getting bet to 6.5, and I assure you it does not matter sometimes because I had the Devils and the Senators over 6 goals, minus 115 last night on Monday, and that one got bet up to 6.5 and went under. I like the over 6.5 in the Oilers and the Wild game. It got steamed up early, I believe, and kind of backed me off of it. But it doesn't really scare me off. I mean, it's all price dependent. But, you know, I think you've got two teams here that really play at a high pace and can put the puck in the net. So that's why you see that total posted where it is.
Andy, question for you about more than a quarter of the way through the hockey season at this point. And I'm curious from a handicapping standpoint, because you've been doing this a long time, is anything different this year than you remember it being last year? For instance, when I asked that of college basketball handicappers, right, 3 years ago, they'd be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And then by last year, they were like, oh, yeah, these things move so quickly the night before that by the time the next morning is there, I could have said that about, it's a totally different proposition. I could have said that about baseball 5 years ago. Hockey, that's happened to some degree as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember I used to win a whole lot more, but no, it's
those things are related.
You know, I'm not there yet, but I've in the first 2 weeks of this season, I got in probably my biggest hole that I've been in since I've been doing this full time, and it's taken me what 6 weeks to almost climb out of it. So it's been a grind, but the game day lines are tougher than any ever. I think I've mentioned this in the past, but it's, you know, the market is sharp. And like you said, overnights, I mean, there are a lot of smart bettors out there that, you know, when these lines get posted and the limits are $500 or $250, that they're eating that stuff up because they can, and that's enough for them. And, you know, all the power to you, right? It's everybody for themselves, really. So, I mean, you kind of just roll with the punches, and it is getting a little bit tighter out there, that's for sure. It's a, like, for instance, I raced, or actually I was on Rush Hour with Danny Burke earlier.
It's Dan Burke.
Now that he's got just the mustache, where it's just Dan Burke.
When he shaves, it's Danny again.
Yeah, it's just Dan.
That's good. All right, I'll tuck that away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was on the show right when warm-ups were taking place, so I didn't see the news that Yousef Soros, the Predators' starting goaltender, was going to get the night off, and David Rittich got the start. That line went from plus 115 on the Red Wings and closed around minus 105 or minus 110 Detroit. And, you know, they're down 2-0. And I guess that's a good time to touch on the fact that I do think there's some value there at plus 475 on the live money line. David Rittich in goal for the Predators. So, you know, this game's probably far from over. At least I hope it is.
Andy, the Jack Adams Award, for people out there who don't know what that is, it is the award annually to the National Hockey League coach judged to have contributed the most to his team's success. I'm looking at these odds at DraftKings, and nobody's really, like, everybody's 7.5 to 1 or longer, and then there's just a ridiculous amount of coaches bunched in this 9 to kind of 12, 13, 14-ish range. So it doesn't seem like anything has kind of really moved in this type of market. Is there anybody that maybe you could take a long shot on maybe at this point? Is there a team out there that's kind of lingering that maybe this market that we could exploit?
Well, you know, stuff has definitely moved. Like, for instance, Dallas Eakins, the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks, he was probably 80 to 1 or something like that prior to the season. Todd McClellan, he's 50 to 1 now with the LA Kings. I have him at 100 to 1 from prior to the season. I don't think he's going to get it, though. But Mark Sullivan at 25 to 1. I mean, the Penguins, they're kind of quietly just toiling away there, but they've been playing good hockey. And I mean, with the Islanders falling apart and injuries to the Rangers starter goaltender, you know, there's not a whole lot of separation there. I believe they're about 8 or 9 points back from the division lead in the Metropolitan Division. You know, he's going to get some consideration, I think, because They played for so much time without Sidney Crosby and still without Evgeny Malkin, and they had injuries to you know, key players like Jake Guentzel and Jeff Carter and so on and so forth. So, I mean, I think he's going to get a lot of credit for what the Penguins do this season if they do have any sort of success. So he's a player that sticks out at 25-1 for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. I was just making sure that you thought that way as well. So that's what I was just making sure.
I was going to say that was a very impressive pull.
Yeah.
The Jack Adams Coach of the Year Award. Pulled that out of the air. By the way, other thing, we love Danny Burke here. Just want to point that out. Last thing, because we got to run. Is there a futures play, either full Stanley Cup, division, something that you love right now?
Oh, you guys are putting me on the spot. There's nothing that I love right now. I mean, we talked about the Penguins a couple of weeks ago, and they were at 35 to 1, and where are they at now?
30.
They're down at 30 to 1. I don't think that's terrible. Right. You know, if I have to make a pick, it's the Penguins at 30 to 1.
Andy, whenever I think of the person who loves being put on the spot more on earth than anybody else,
it's you.
I think of you.
It's you.
You love that. Love that.
I love it.
Andy McNeil, everybody, at Digital,
you guys.
At Digital Gambler. Always check him out on Twitter, Hockey Picks, and the propagator at VSiN.com. Updated all day. He does his YouTube thing. When's your next YouTube thing, real quick?
We're going to do that Thursday.
There it is.
Thursday. Digital Gambler for all the information. We'll come back. More NFL right here on VSiN's Primetime Action from the South Point.